Well, take your Bibles out. I got a little happy this morning. I looked at my clock down here and the battery was dead, so I thought I could preach as long as I wanted to. But lo and behold, we found another battery. So I'm still happy, but not quite as happy. I knew y'all were going, whew, glad for that battery. Take your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 19. Genesis chapter 19. We're still continuing this series on God the Just Judge and Justifier. Our main lesson, God is both judge and justifier. Simple lesson, but a powerful truth we all need to get a hold of, and we all need to remember that statement. God is both judge and justifier. Just to review with you real quick, I know we've got some folks here I hadn't seen in a while, and it's so good to see you guys. Just love seeing y'all be back in church. Praise the Lord for that. So just a real quick review. God, the just judge, we looked at the two sins of Sodom. They were socially inhospitable, and they were sexually intolerable. And then we found out the source of their judgment, that is, the sovereignly God, the source of being sovereignly incinerated is, of course, our Heavenly Father, God. And so that's what we looked at so far. And then we got to point two last week, which was God the justifier, and we looked at the first point, and that was that free gift of God's deliverance is not a joke. And as you remember, hopefully, Lot began witnessing to his two sons-in-laws, and they took it as a joke. But the free gift of God's deliverance is definitely no joke. Do you know of the man that goes by the name D.L. Moody? I'm sure you've heard that name many times. God used him in great ways, and I'm sure you know that as well. But this is what's been said about D.L. Moody. He was a great preacher and a great evangelist of past years. He looked into the faces of many, many people, and some have speculated that he reduced the population of hell by some 2 million people. This man was a witness because the free gift of God's deliverance is no joke. And as God's people, we need to take heed to the warning and the teaching of the Bible, as D.L. Moody did, and give a witness of the free gift of God's deliverance through Jesus Christ. That's what we are called to do. Moody was a soldier of the cross, and so we are also soldiers of the cross. Now, we all know that D.L. Moody didn't save those people. God saved those people because he's the justifier. We're not the justifier. Moody was a faithful witness, just as Lot was a biblical witness that God is the just judge and he was going to be the justifier of Lot. Now, the question is, how good are we doing at being a witness for the free gift of God's deliverance? How are we doing? We're all called to faithfully witness. Remember the Great Commission of Matthew chapter 28. Now, the question maybe also is this: why do we need to witness? You know, many of us know we should, but many of us ask, why? Why do we need to witness? If God's going to do the saving, why does he need me to do anything? Well, he's given us the great opportunity to be a part of that work in many different ways, which we're going to talk about one of them shortly. The reason why we need to witness is because there are only two kinds of people in the world. Did you know that? There are only two kinds of people in this world. Two kinds. Malachi wrote of those two kinds of people in Malachi chapter 4, beginning in verse 1. He writes, "For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, when all the arrogant and all evildoers will be stubble. They do... The day that is coming shall set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch." So the first kind of people we read about is the unsaved. Malachi goes on to state this, "But for you who fear the Lord of hosts, but for you who fear the Lord of hosts," I can't keep up with my lines here. "But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in its wings. You shall go out leaping like calves from the stall." So the one is the unsaved. The other ones are cows that go leaping. Right? You guys are saved. And you're compared to cows who go leaping. How you like that? Two kinds of people, right? Saved and unsaved. That's the only kinds of people that inhabit this earth. And that's why we need to save, to witness. Who would be the ones that we witness to that are saved? I haven't got a clue. God's not giving me that information. You see, all I know is God has called me to witness, just as He called you to witness, so that through that witness of the gospel, He will save sinners. God didn't send Jesus to earth for the possibility of someone being saved. God sent Jesus to earth because people will be saved. And it's a matter of us working along with Him and opening our mouths to witness. Wouldn't it be awesome that it could be said of all of us, of Liberty Baptist Church, millions will not walk into hell because we witnessed to them. Amen. What a wonderful thought. The Bible says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Isaac Watts wrote this line. He says, "I am a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb, and I shall fear to own His cause or blush to speak His name." Be a soldier. Be a soldier, church family. Last Sunday, we learned that the free gift of God is no joke, that Lot was a witness of that free gift. And now this Sunday, what we see is that free gift of God's deliverance is not deserved. So the free gift of God's deliverance is not deserved. Look at verses 15 and 16 with me. In verse 15, the Bible says this, "As morning dawned, the angels urged Lot, saying, 'Up, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, lest you be swept away in the punishment of the city.' But he lingered. So the men seized him and his wife and his two daughters by the hand, the Lord being merciful to him. And they brought him out and set him outside the city." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you so much once again. Dive into your word this morning that preached, it is going to be heard. It's going to be read. All for your glory, most definitely, Lord, and also for the good of the saints that are here. May your word inspire us to go and be witnesses
of your grace and your mercy, of your free gift, deliverance. Lord, but right now, in this moment, in this time, Lord, I pray that you'll give us eyes to see,
and ears to hear, and a taste for the wondrous beauty of your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. If there were ever a picture of mercy, and the Bible gives many pictures of God's mercy, I believe that this is a great picture of God's mercy in verses 15 and 16. God saved Lot and his family kicking and screaming. I mean, they were just kicking and screaming the whole way, and he saved them anyway. How about you? Were you kicking and screaming until you just finally gave in to the power of the love of God? Were you kicking and screaming like Lot? Mercy is what you received as it is what Lot received. And mercy is something that we don't deserve. I cannot read anything about Lot that tells me he deserved God's mercy. If you see something in there, you let me know. But I've read it, and I can't see very much good about the man Lot other than the God that he knew. And that God was very, very merciful. So go with me in time, back in time just a moment, And think about this. As the sun breaks upon the morning horizon, emerging from the dark of night, that wicked, despicable night there in Sodom, Lot and his family have not heeded the warnings of the angels of God. They have lingered. They have lingered in a dangerous place, and unless they wanted to be swept away in the river of God's judgment, they had to leave immediately. They would not have left on their own, so God grabbed them up and pulled them out, kicking and screaming, out of Sodom. And that was God's mercy. That was God's mercy. They lingered when they should have got on the move. It's only because of the angels that Lot and his family were whisked outside of the city walls. Now, why did the angels seize Lot and his wife and his two daughters, these reluctant citizens of Sodom, to leave? Well, verse 16 gives us the answer. The Lord being merciful to him. Dr. Walkie writes, Lot's salvation does not depend upon his own righteousness, but on God's mercy. And that is true of all humanity. Lot didn't deserve God's free gift of deliverance. You can't read this any other way. It appears that he had rather burn with sinful Sodom than live free and freed in the gift of God's deliverance. The free gift of God's deliverance is not deserved by Lot. It's not deserved by anyone in here today. So if you came in here thinking that this is something, that salvation is something that you have a right to, let me tell you, you don't. We all linger in our sinfulness, but for the mercy of God, we would all live there. We would be just like Lot. But God had mercy on Lot, just as he has mercy on us. And what is mercy? What exactly is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. What did Lot deserve? He deserved everyone else, all those other citizens got in Sodom and Gomorrah that morning. Save Lot was being given the mercy of God. You see, Lot didn't meet the just judge of all creation that day. He met the God who is the justifier of sinners. Titus chapter 3 verse 5 says this, He saved us not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to His own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit. God spared Lot and his family that day, not because Lot deserved it, but because the justifying God of all creation is merciful. How many times have you heard a preacher preach that? Many times. That's good, because that's something we all need to be reminded of on a regular basis, that God is merciful to sinners. He doesn't give us what we deserve. Long ago, a poor woman from the slums of London was invited to go with a group of people for a holiday at the ocean. She had never seen the ocean before, and when she saw it, she burst into tears. And the group that took her with them thought that this reaction was a bit strange when she set her eyes on something so lovely as the ocean and having this holiday. "Why in the world are you crying?" they asked her. And pointing to the ocean, she answered, "This is the only thing I have ever seen that there was enough of." Aren't you glad that God has oceans of mercy? He has more than enough to give any sinner who would turn to Him and confess their sins and repent and accept Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. You see, people don't get saved because there's a lack of mercy. God has abundant mercy to give any sinner. John Macduff said of God's mercy, "Deliverance is traced up to the riches of God's mercy. It is the offended sovereign proclaiming amnesty to rebels, lifting the beggar from the ash heap, and setting him among princes." Ephesians chapter 2,
But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. You see, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And he has mercy enough to save any sinner. And I'm so glad. I'm thankful for God's mercy in my life. I don't deserve it, but he gave it to me anyway. And if you're a saved person today, you're only saved by the mercy of God, not getting justice, not getting what we deserve. Well, not only is the justifying God a God of mercy, but as we see next, he is a God of grace. He's a God of grace. The free gift of God, next point is this, the free gift of God's deliverance is not earned. It's not deserved, and it's not earned. Well, then how do we get it? Look at verse 17 with me, 17 and following. And as they brought them out, one said, "Escape for your life. Do not look back or stop anywhere in the valley. Escape to the hills, lest you be swept away." And Lot said to them, "Oh no, my lords. Behold, your servant has found favor." When we see that word favor, it's synonymous with grace. Grace. "Favor in your sight, and you have shown me great kindness in saving my life. But I cannot escape to the hills, lest the disaster overtake me and I die. Behold, this city is near enough to flee to, and it is a little one. Let me escape there. Is it not a little one? And my life will be saved." He said to him, "Behold, I grant you this favor also, that I will not overthrow the city of which you have spoken. Escape there quickly, for I can do nothing till you arrive there." Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun had risen on the earth when Lot came to Zoar. Well, the free gift of God's deliverance, it's not a joke. It's not deserved. And in these verses, verses 17 through 23, we learn that the free gift of God's deliverance is not earned. God will not save the inhabitants of Sodom, but he does act graciously to save lingering Lot and his family. He acts graciously. He gives them his favor. Lot has done absolutely nothing in his life. That is, as far as we can tell from what's in the Bible. Remember what had done just that night. He was willing to give up his daughters to the mob and then be raped. Despicable thought. He's done nothing to be saved, worthy enough to earn salvation. And yet here we see in these verses twice over God's favor upon his life. God was gracious to him. Here again, though, we see the reluctant Lot bantering with the angels to be allowed to alter his exit. He says, this is just a little city, right? it's not as big as the other one, so you won't miss destroying this little one, will you? Kind of deal. Lot is an enigma, isn't he, in so many kinds of ways. But you know who he reminds me of? The man I see in the mirror almost every day. Doesn't he remind you of yourself? We're all Lots in one way or another. And like Lot, we all have bantered with the Lord when we should have just shut up and done what he said to do. And yet God acts with favor towards us and mercy towards us. So here, Lot just asks for permission to go to the city of Zoar so that he doesn't have to walk to the hills. You know, he has enough faith to believe he's got to get out, although he's reluctant, but he doesn't have enough faith to do what God tells him to do. You see why I say he's an enigma kind of a fella? And here, he acknowledges in verse 19 God's grace that is upon his life. And it's like he's using God's grace and manipulating God. None of us would do that, though, would we? None of us would sin all the more because grace abounds. None of us would do that, would we? But here's Lot doing that very thing. He sees the favor of God upon his life. He says, your servant has found favor in your sight. But again, he doesn't have faith enough in God's plan to escape to the hills. Instead, he wants to go to Zoar. God's got all the power, I think, right? He's got all the power, I think. God's grace, isn't it true, is sufficient. It's sufficient in Lot's life. It's sufficient in our lives. And in an extraordinary gift of grace and favor, this is what God does. He condescends to Lot's bantering. Sort of like the moment God condescended when he was put in human flesh in a virgin and laid in a manger. God condescended to sinful men. An extraordinary way of showing grace and mercy. Extraordinary. Behold, I grant you this favor also. One theologian writes, God's grace to very imperfect people is amazing. Sort of an understatement, but it's so true. Amen? Okay. What is mercy? Mercy is not getting what we deserve. And what is grace? Grace is given something that we don't deserve. And here, Lot didn't deserve the grace of God. But God's grace and his mercy was given to Lot. And that's no joke, church family. That is no joke. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And so the free gift of God's deliverance is not earned. It's only gained through the unmerited favor and unmerited grace of God. God spared Lot and his family that day, not because Lot earned it, but because the justifying God is full of grace. Amen, Brother David. Thank you, Mimi. You got it. Amen. Amen. Imagine you are $500,000 in debt. Someone comes to you and writes out a check for $500,000 and says, this is all for you to cancel your debt. You don't have to do anything but reach out and take it, and it's yours. So you reach your hand out and you take the $500,000 and it pays off all of your debt. And like Dave Ramsey, you can now yell, I'm debt free. That's what God did for us. That's a beautiful picture of what God did for us. He paid the debt for us through the shed blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. He gave us his grace, and now we can say, I'm debt free in God's courtroom. We didn't earn it, just like Lot. Lot didn't earn it. The free gift of God's deliverance was given to Lot because God favored him. God gave him his grace. God just simply gave Lot what he didn't deserve. God paid the debt of sins, of Lot's sin, and delivered him from destruction. And the Bible tells us this, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Aren't you thankful for God's grace in your life? Aren't you thankful for his mercy? We don't deserve either one. We can't earn it. God is the gracious one who condescends to us and pays all the debt for us. I'm thankful for that. That makes me a little happy. How about you? The next thing here, we need to pay attention to this. Of course, I know y'all are paying attention to both of those points. I can just see it in your eyes. And if I asked you next week, you would be able to tell me what those points are. I know that. I want you to pay attention even more to this third point here. This is very, very, very important. Very important. the third point is this. The free gift of God's deliverance is affected by the prayers of the righteous. Let me read that again. The free gift of God's deliverance is affected by the prayers of the righteous. Look at verse 29. This is what the Bible says. So it was that when God destroyed the cities of the valley, God remembered Abraham. Now, again, does God forget anything? So when God remembers something, it's not as if he forgot something. All right? God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in which Lot had lived. So the Bible tells us that God destroyed all of the cities except Zoar. He is the just judge. Those folks got what they deserved. We've also learned that God is the justifier. He allowed Lot and his family to be spared through his grace and his mercy. They didn't get what they deserved, but instead they got what they didn't deserve. And then in verse 29, this short pericope here is all tied together when we learn that God remembered Abraham. God remembered Abraham. Now, what had Abraham done? Remember, Abraham had prayed to the Lord, spoke with him in person. What is prayer? Speaking with the Lord. And he went from 50 to 10, right? Lord, if you just find 10 righteous here, will you not spare it? Of course I'll spare. Did he find 10 righteous? No, the Bible tells us there was only one righteous, and that was Lot, although it's questioned. He was righteous. That's what the Bible says. I guess I'm not going to be too judgmental of him because I'm declared righteous in the sight of God, and don't I linger too long sometimes in places I shouldn't linger. Amen? Like y'all, right? So he had prayed for Sodom to be spared. If God found 10 righteous people there, God would have spared Sodom. This is what is remembered. God remembered Abraham. He remembered the conversation that they had. He remembered the intercession that Abraham had with God for the benefit of the unrighteous in Sodom and for the righteous there in Sodom. There was only one found to be righteous, even though Lot compromised in so many ways. The Bible says God remembered Abraham, and when he remembered him, what did he do as a result of that? He sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. God remembered the intercession, and as a consequence of Abraham interceding for Lot, God sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow. That's very significant. Lot didn't receive the gift of God's deliverance, the free gift of God's deliverance, based upon his righteousness, but through the grace of God, effected by the prayers of Abraham. That's the way we're to read here. That's the meaning of the text here. God remembered the intercessor Abraham and thus spared Lot. Now, let's put this together. John Calvin writes this: what the Lord does gratuitously, induced by no other cause than his own goodness, is ascribed to the prayers of men for this reason, that we may be stirred to worship God and to pray to him. James chapter 5, verse 16, the prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. And this verse can be applied to Abraham's life. The prayer of righteous Abraham had great power as it was working. The presence of the righteous has a redeeming effect in this wicked world. You may ask how. Well, one of the ways the righteous have a redeeming effect in this world is through prayer. Through prayer. This text shows us how our prayers have an effect in the saving of souls. Our prayers have an effect in the saving of souls. And because it does, hopefully we'll pray more fervently for unsaved people. What's one way that you can witness? Interceding to God for lost people. That's how. R.C. Sproul writes, Genesis chapter 19, verse 29 reminds us of our need to pray. The Lord is pleased to use our prayers as He redeems our friends and family. We can never pray too long or too hard for our wayward sons and daughters or unrepentant fathers and mothers. So we must be praying for the salvation of sinners. We pray for the lost that God will save them. You see, the free gift of God's deliverance is affected by the prayers of the righteous. Lou Nichols tells of the story of a mother's son. That son writes of his mother's prayer. This is what he says. I cannot tell you how much I owe to the prayers of my godly mother. I believe that it was in answer to her prayers that I came to know Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. While on a troop ship in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean serving in the United States Army, she knew that I had headed to the other side of the world and didn't have a personal relationship with Christ, and she was praying for me to be saved. After she died, I was looking through her prayer journal and saw the names of many people she had been praying for to be saved and have since made decisions for Jesus Christ. You see, the prayers of the righteous move God to save sinners. One of the greatest theologians of all time, the Bishop of Hippo, Augustine, had a mother who prayed for decades for his salvation. And the Lord doubtlessly used those prayers to move upon him, leading him to become one of the most influential theologians the world has ever known. One of the reasons we're here today is because the Reformation came out of some of the teaching of Augustine. And those two things happened hundreds of years apart. You see, your prayers can change the world through the saving of a sinner. Amen. Amen. Let me close this morning. When it comes to time, do you agree with these five statements? When as a child I laughed and wept, time crept. When as a youth I dreamed and talked, time walked. When I became a full-grown man, time ran. And later as I older grew, time flew. Soon I shall find while traveling on, time is gone. Do you agree with those? Do you value the time that we have been given? How do we value 1 year as the student who failed a grade? How do we value 1 month? Ask a mother whose baby arrived prematurely. How do we value 1 week? Editors of weekly newspapers know. How do we value 1 hour? Ask someone who lies terminally ill. How do we value 1 minute? Ask someone who missed a plane, a train, a very important engagement that would never be rescheduled. How do we value 1 second? Ask a swimmer. Ask an Olympic medalist, someone who just missed having an accident, or someone saying goodbye to a loved one they will never see again. Now listen, let me make the point here about this. I wonder, if we could go back and ask Lot's two future sons-in-law, once God started raining sulfur and fire down from heaven upon Sodom, I wonder if we could ask them, do you wish you would have taken Lot seriously, what their answer just might be. I wonder if they wish they could have turned back time and have a do-over. I'm sure they would have taken that moment, that time, much more seriously. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. One day, time will be no more. One day. And here's the question. Are you ready for that moment in time? And in that moment, all that will matter is how we know God. Judge or justifier? Right now, you have time. Right now, you have time. You've got time to come to Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, ask for forgiveness, and trust in Him by faith. Right now, you have the time. After this moment, I don't know if you will or not. Right now, you have the time to pray for that lost family member. Right now, we've been given the time to be a witness of the mercy and grace of God to lost sinners. We have time. How long? I don't know. But right now is the time. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we come to You as frail people, sinners, saved by grace, people who have not gotten what we deserve, but gotten what we don't deserve. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone in the hearing of my voice, whether they're here or at home online, that if they know not Jesus Christ, that right now, in this moment, they will say, Lord, I am a sinner, and I am broken, and I need Jesus Christ to forgive me. Lord, I repent of my sins, and I turn to Jesus Christ by faith, and I trust Him as my Savior. I will live for Him as my Lord, and I will love Him as my treasure. Right now, I pray, Father, for those who may be in that moment in time where they need to turn and trust in Jesus Christ. And Father, I pray today as we leave this place that as You lay people upon our hearts that are lost and dying and will bust hell wide open, that You, Father, will convict us and move us to speak the wonderful good news of Jesus Christ to them. And Lord, we can't save them. That's up to You. But at least, Lord God, we will have lived in obedience and have done exactly what You have told us to do. And Lord, we'll be more than willing to leave the rest in Your hands. Father, I pray that You would move in our hearts and our minds, that we would pray for lost sinners fervently, as if their very eternity depends upon it, because it just might. Lord Jesus Christ, may You be honored in all of this. And it's in His name we pray. Amen and amen.